At Tylir, Mo Rutish. Written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic, rated mature, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Cody / Obi-Wan. It is part of the Here There Be Dragons series. Chapter 1. Romancing a Dragon. It had been quite a shock when the clone troopers suddenly turned into large dragons during the Battle of Geonosis. At one point in the battle, separated from any of the generals, a clone commander had given the order to shift when it appeared his men would just be killed uselessly if they continued their current method of attack. Within a moment, several dozen dragons shot into the air. Shocked and confused chatter followed as the Jedi tried to comprehend what had occurred. Large dragons tore through the lines of droids or clawed at weak points of ships. The roars were nearly deafening. The bewildered Jedi simply tried to keep fighting. Afterwards, Mace demanded to know why Obi-Wan had failed to mention this fact about the clones. Obi-Wan had offered a simple, "I couldn't tell you what I myself didn't know." A series of long debriefs with various clone commanders had yielded significantly more information about the clones than Obi-Wan's visit to Kamino had. It turned out the clone troopers could turn into dragons at will. Not only that, they could vary their size. It was an incredibly useful ability, both on and off the battlefield. The unfortunate thing was, the Jedi were unprepared to plan battles that factored dragons into their strategies. Fortunately, the command clones, the CCs, had been taught strategy and how to account for their abilities in them. The Jedi who were willing to take advice from their commanders did well. Those who were unwilling did not. It took time to find a balance of tactics to keep the Separatists guessing on the battlefield. Obi-Wan was the kind of general that was smart enough to listen to his commander. Commander Cody was a skilled strategist and expert at battlefield tactics. Only a fool would have ignored him. It meant they worked closely together and built trust relatively quickly. "I admit I'm curious, Commander. How did the Kaminoans handle training for this ability?" Obi-Wan asked several months after they began working together. Cody's smile could only be described as sly. "Who said they knew?" That was the last answer the Jedi had been expecting. "Are you saying the Kaminoans had no idea they had cloned an army of dragons?" he asked incredulously. Cody grinned, a borderline feral thing. "Somehow, Jango Fett had kept his shifting ability hidden from the Kaminoans, and then taught the first batches to do the same, the Nulls and the Alphas. They taught the early batches of CCs and CTs. We were all expected to help those younger than us," he explained. "We can only be grateful, then, that the clones on Geonosis chose to reveal themselves at our sakes," Obi-Wan said quietly. "We were made for the Jedi. Of course they made that choice," Cody reminded him. They slowly bonded over strategy meeting and long afternoons of paperwork. Eventually, Obi-Wan even took up sparring with his commander when they had the time. Somehow, he still hadn't seen the feelings coming. Obi-Wan was self-aware enough to admit when he realized he had fallen in love with Cody. After all, it was hard to ignore a very large dragon viciously tearing through a company of droids to come to your aid when you were injured. It was even harder to ignore said dragon, rubbing its face against your own affectionately, and then curling protectively around you until help could arrive. Was a realization of feelings really a surprise after such a display? There were some things to get used to about having a dragon shifter romantic partner, but Obi-Wan was utterly certain that Cody was worth it. After all, Cody had to deal with plenty of quirks because he was dating a Jedi. It balanced out. So, what did it mean, exactly, that Cody was a dragon? It varied. Chapter 2, Protection. Three times the clones, and Cody specifically, being dragons meant protection. One. Their gunship had taken damage during landing, but they hadn't realized it until they tried to return to the ship after the battle ended. Their pilot had been able to get them back down, but repairs were out of the question with the supplies they had with them. They calmed for assistance, but one of the freak storms this planet was known for had popped up within 10 minutes of them landing, so rescue had to wait until morning. It also meant staying in their damaged ship was out of the question. The clones shifted into dragon form, grabbed what supplies they had, and made it to the cave system nearby within a few minutes of Obi-Wan giving the orders to do so.
"Not exactly how I expected this evening to go," Boyle grumbled as they went through the supplies.
"I know we all expected to be back on the Negotiator tonight, but this is hardly the worst place we've ever had to hunker down for the night," Cody chided. They set up a watch rotation and began to break out their ration bars and water.
"I can take a watch rotation, Commander," Obi-Wan pointed out as he watched his men work.
"Not necessary, General," Cody replied swiftly. "We have it handled." Obi-Wan had learned many things about his commander since they started serving together, and one was how determined the man was to make him take care of himself. Contrary to what some seem to think, Obi-Wan didn't neglect himself entirely. He simply pushed himself hard because there were so many things that needed to be done. Cody didn't seem to think that was sufficient when they were only general and commander. Once they had become more, Cody had hardened his stance on Obi-Wan's lack of self-care.
"Then I suppose I shall leave matters in your capable hands," the Jedi offered graciously.
He could feel the clone's warm affection and pleasure in the Force. He smiled softly. Cody closed the distance between them and pressed their foreheads together with a quiet, "Thank you." Obi-Wan reveled in the warmth of Cody's presence, both physically and in the Force. This region was cold this time of year, in addition to being plagued by storms. He would need to bundle himself tightly in his robes to keep warm enough, since their gunship hadn't had much in the way of blankets or camping gear.
"Sirs," Waxer interrupted a moment later. He looked utterly unrepentant as he waved some ration bars and a canteen in their direction. They pulled apart, Cody with a long-suffering sigh, and Obi-Wan with a slightly embarrassed flush. A pointed glare sent Waxer on his way back towards Boyle and the others. The next couple of hours were spent talking and relaxing before it was time to try to sleep.
"I'll keep you warm," Cody promised.
"Are you sure you'll be all right?" Obi-Wan asked.
The clone tilted his head in the direction of his brothers, several of whom had already shifted and were settling between others to help stave off the chill of the cave. It seemed that was the plan all around then.
"Get comfortable, Shari. I'll curl up around you," Cody ordered gently.
Obi-Wan did as he was instructed and settled into the position that was the closest he could get to comfortable on the cold stone floor. He smiled at the pleased rush of warmth and affection he felt in the Force. Cody always did like it when he followed his orders. Obi-Wan felt his beloved shifting forms, and within a few moments, a medium-sized dragon was sitting beside him, Once he was ready, Cody curled around him as much as he could, before draping a wing over him. The Jedi cuddled close to the dragon's side and enjoyed the warmth and protection. Feeling so warm and safe, it didn't take long for him to drift off to sleep. Obi-Wan woke the next morning to a clear sky and a beeping calm, signaling that rescue was inbound. "Thank you," he said, pressing his forehead against the dragon's snout. The dragon nuzzled at his face for a moment in reply, before pulling back and shifting back to human form. "I'll always look after you, if you let me," Cody reminded him. Obi-Wan knew the truth of those words to the depth of his being. When Cody so often chose to be sweet and affectionate in dragon form, it was easy to forget how deadly he could be in it, too. The battle was not going well using standard tactics. If they retreated much more, they would be pinned. That was not acceptable. Obi-Wan looked at his commander and nodded. Cody snapped out an order via his wrist comm. Within a moment, there were a dozen large dragons present on the battlefield. They took to the sky before plowing into the lines of droids with a mighty roar. Droids and pieces of droids went airborne as they were flung by vicious claws. Cody led the charge, decimating ranks of droids before the others even caught up with him. He swooped and dodged as the droids aimed their tanks at him. He snatched one with his claws and wrenched it to the side before ripping the barrel clean off. Two other ghosts worked in tandem to lift one tank and fling it at another. The resulting explosion was incredibly satisfying. It was enough that the remaining troops on the ground were able to turn the tide of the battle. Within an hour, they had turned a potential defeat into a victory. A few more men shifted, and the dragons pursued the retreating droids, destroying them all. Then the troopers in dragon form had gone scouting to be sure they had dealt with all the droids nearby. That left the rest to see to the wounded and check on their supplies. Obi-Wan was overseeing cleanup when Cody landed heavily beside him. "Are we clear?" he asked. The dragon nodded sharply. "Excellent. Are you injured?" A shake of the head. "Are any of the others?" Another no. That was always a good thing. Obi-Wan placed a hand on Cody's flank as they stood quietly for a moment watching over their men as they were. The dragon relaxed under the touch. "Do you plan to stay in that form until we are prepared to return to the ship?" A nod. "Very well, my dear commander. You keep watch. I will check the status of our preparations," Obi-Wan declared. His words were met with a gentle headbutt. He laughed and stroked the dragon's snout for a long moment before heading to check on their men. He noticed a few others were still shifted and keeping watch at the edges of the battlefield. They were so protective. He wished there weren't a need. Three. The planet that they were on was possibly the coldest the 212th had visited yet. "What's the plan for the general?" Waxer asked as they prepared to bunk down for the night. They had tents and bedding. The clones weren't worried about themselves, but they were definitely worried about their general. While he wasn't delicate, he certainly was more fragile than they themselves were. "I'll be with him," Cody explained, though his tone reflected surprise at that even being in question. "No offense, sir, but are you sure that's enough?" Boyle asked. "He's already cold and trying to hide it," Wooly offered, his sad Tuca eyes in full force. The commander swore. If the general was cold now, he'd be freezing long before morning, even with a dragon-shaped heater at his side. That meant he'd need backup. "Okay, You three are joining us. Grab Longshot, too. That should be enough, Cody ordered. They scrambled to do as they were bid.
Cody, care to explain your plans for sleeping arrangements?
Obi-Wan asked with a quirked eyebrow as he glanced at the number of men in the tent. He had assumed he would only be sharing with Cody, so he had been quite surprised to see four other ghosts inside, too. It's going to get very cold overnight. Body heat from five dragons ought to suffice to keep you comfortable, Cody offered reasonably. Obi-Wan was certain that that was unnecessary. He didn't need all the fuss.
Please, sir, let us make sure you stay warm, Wooly asked, not hesitating to pull out the sad Tuka eyes.
Wooly was one of their youngest. He was a skilled fighter, but the general still fell for his sad Tuka expression every time. As predicted, the Jedi folded like wet flimsy in less than a minute.
Oh, very well, Obi-Wan allowed.
Wooly smiled brightly. The troopers quickly set to work to lay out the bedrolls and blankets. Obi-Wan stood back, letting them work without him getting in their way. He removed the little armor he wore, as it wasn't comfortable to sleep in. He was going to leave his boots on in deference to the cold.
The whole point of this is that we'll keep you warm, Cody pointed out. Take off your boots. Get comfortable. Trust us to look after you.
Really, how could Obi-Wan argue with that?
It looks wonderful. Very comfortable, he told them as he allowed himself to be herded to the middle of the pile once they were done.
That's how he found himself with a small-sized Cody spread out on top of him, with the rest of them in medium-sized forms curled close around them. He had to admit, it kept him plenty warm.
Chapter 3, Affection. Three times Cody being a dragon meant displays of affection. One. It was a quiet day on the Negotiator. They were in hyperspace on their way back to Coruscant. For once, they were relatively on top of paperwork, and they had no pressing meetings. It meant Cody felt comfortable indulging a bit. He had struggled at first, with openly being in his dragon form anywhere but the battlefield. But then he realized that his men were looking to him for how they should act and when they could relax. In theory, that was okay. Until he realized that because he never shifted during downtime on the ship, his men didn't either, no matter how much they enjoyed spending time in dragon form. Cody made himself start shifting where his men would see him. Sometimes he found somewhere to perch in the gym to watch over the men sparring. Sometimes he rode around on Obi-Wan's shoulder. That had taken a lot of time for him to be comfortable doing, but it seemed to be the thing that made the men relax and become comfortable with the idea of shifting for relaxation the most. So he did it. And after a while, he found he rather enjoyed it too. It provided a unique perspective, and Obi-Wan enjoyed having Cody with him like that. It worked out for all of them. He tracked Obi-Wan down just outside the bridge as he was exiting after a comm call with the Council. Once he found his Jedi, he shifted into his smallest dragon form and then jumped into the man's arms. Obi-Wan wasn't entirely prepared for that, so he attempted a stern look.
A warning would be nice, Commander, he pretended to scold.
Cody just put on his most innocent look, which was hard to do in this form, before looking up expectantly. With a laugh, Obi-Wan lifted the small dragon up towards his shoulders. The dragon hopped onto the offered spot and then curled around the other man's neck. Comfortable? The Jedi asked with a smile when he was sure Cody was settled. He took the nuzzling of his neck as a yes.
I was about to go make some tea. Would you care for some calf?
Obi-Wan felt the nod from the dragon, so he headed for his quarters and his tea stash. They were greeted by a few people along the way. Cody was pleased to see that Wooly was perched on Longshot's shoulder, looking totally relaxed. He wanted his men to feel comfortable, embracing both parts of their nature. It was convenient that they all had different markings since it made them easy to tell apart in this form. Most clones opted to paint their armor in the same pattern as their dragon form, though each company had its own color that rarely reflected the dragon's own. Cody stayed snuggled around Obi-Wan's neck, even as the man made their tea and a calf. He used the small bowl that Cody didn't mind drinking out of when he was in this form. He hopped down onto Obi-Wan's desk and waited for his drink to cool a little.
"I was just going to meditate after my tea. Do you want to stay while I do?" the Jedi asked.
The dragon tilted his head to the side, considering. He decided that some quiet time sounded good. He nodded. Obi-Wan reached over and ran a hand from the top of Cody's head down to his tail. Cody rumbled in pleasure at the touch. They finished their drinks in companionable silence. Obi-Wan settled into his meditation pose with the unusual addition of a contented, sleepy dragon curled around his neck. Two. They fought in back-to-back campaigns. Obi-Wan had gotten some rest immediately following the second battle, purely because he had been sedated by the medics following an injury. He knew his beloved commander had not had such a luxury. He could feel the other man's exhaustion in the Force.
"You need to rest too, my darling Cody," Obi-Wan scolded fondly as they sat in his office doing paperwork.
Really, while he usually enjoyed working on such boring but necessary tasks together, he could handle it alone this time if it let Cody get some much-needed rest.
"I'll be fine for a while yet," the other assured stubbornly.
Cody knew his limits, and he would heed them. He wasn't there yet. He was fine.
"Or you could rest now and let me work on this," the Jedi countered. "I dare say I am qualified to verify and approve forms."
Cody knew when he was dealing with Obi-Wan and when it was the general. This was the general, ready to turn on negotiator mode. It was better to concede than argue about something like this.
"Fine, but I'm staying here," he informed the other man firmly.
Obi-Wan smiled softly. He looked so beautiful like that. His face softened and happy. Cody wished his beloved could look like that more often. His Jedi had such a kind heart. He didn't deserve all the sadness and loss he had suffered. He forced himself to refocus on the now, rather than letting his mind wander.
"I think we'll both find that an acceptable compromise," Obi-Wan said, still smiling.
Cody shifted into one of his smallest dragon forms. He hopped over the desk and onto Obi-Wan's lap. He curled up in a ball, with one wing draped over Obi-Wan's knees. He had to admit, this had become one of his favorite positions to be in if he didn't need to be doing anything important. It was easy to show affection in this small form and to accept it in return. He could snuggle close and let Obi-Wan pet and cuddle him like this. It felt good. It was nice to let himself be taken care of for a little while. Obi-Wan stroked from the top of the little dragon's head down to his tail. He could practically feel the dragon melting under his touch, so he kept it up until he heard the soft sounds indicating that Cody was asleep. Then he picked up a data pad and set to work. Every so often, he would reach down and gently stroke the sleeping dragon's back. It was calming for him, too. When he had cleared enough of the backlog that he didn't feel guilty taking a break, he gently scooped the still-sleeping dragon into his arms. Cody stirred, but Obi-Wan soothed him back to sleep as he walked towards his quarters. Cody made a disgruntled sound as he was gently laid on the bed. The Jedi chuckled softly.
"Shh, sweetheart. It's all right," he soothed.
As soon as he had his boots off, he pulled the barely awake dragon into his arms once more. He settled onto his bunk and let Cody sprawl across his chest, with a little dragon's head right over his heart. They slept. Three. The clones were very selective about allowing people to ride on their back. There were pictures floating around the HoloNet of clones giving rides to children to cheer them up after the Gar protected or liberated their world from the Separatists. Padawan commanders were rarely refused. But adults? They'd allow it in an emergency. Or if they loved them. Obi-Wan had been given the honor on a few occasions. This was the first time it was for purposes of relaxation instead of battle. They had 4 days of downtime on a beautiful but uninhabited forest moon. Only half of the 212th could be off at once, since there was no good place on the moon to land the Negotiator or the other large ships. Waxer and Boyle had gotten most of Ghost to assist them in badgering their general and commander into taking the full 4 days, even though the rest of them only got 2 days.
Neither of you took any time off the last leave.
This sector hasn't seen Separatist activity in months. We're as safe as we could be. You deserve to relax. The men want you to take care of yourselves.
On and on it went, until they caved and agreed to take the full 4 days. Cody declared that if they were taking the full leave, they were taking it a distance away from everyone else. Obi-Wan thought it sounded good, but didn't want to make one of the ships detour just for them.
We won't. We'll go down with the men. Then I'll fly us somewhere more secluded, Cody had said, as if it was the most obvious thing in the galaxy.
Obi-Wan was glad that they were alone in his quarters discussing this. It meant he didn't have to resist the strong urge to kiss Cody for that.
I take it you agree?
Cody asked smugly when they parted.
I think it sounds wonderful.
The general and commander oversaw the preparations and traveled down to the moon with the first group of their men to see them safely settled into the start of their leave. Once they were certain everything was well in hand, Obi-Wan and Cody gathered their own bags and prepared to leave. Cody shifted into a form large enough to carry Obi-Wan and their supplies.
Are you certain about this, dearest? I don't want to treat you like a pack animal. Obi-Wan had fretted.
Cody had kissed his temple and said, for the chance at 4 uninterrupted days alone, totally worth it. Obi-Wan had opted not to argue further. Now, Cody was shifted, and he carefully settled their supplies into the harness that had been created for the occasion. One last check-in with Waxer, and they departed. They had chosen a nice clearing about an hour's flight away. It was far enough for them to be alone, but close enough that a gunship could reach them quickly if something came up. It didn't take them long to pitch their tent and settle their gear after they arrived. They ate ration bars for mid-meal, but Cody was already planning on hunting for additions to their other meals. It was a side of his dragon nature he rarely got to indulge in. There were no large predators on the moon, but plenty of smaller creatures that would be good for eating. After they were done with their rations, Obi-Wan listed off a few options for the rest of the day.
So, what do we do first? A nice leisurely stroll through the woods? A dip in the lake nearby? A nap?
The lake sounds refreshing after the flight, Cody said after a moment's thought.
They held hands and talked about ideas for the next few days as they walked the short distance to the small lake. They swam and played in the water for a time before deciding they were tired. Cody shifted into one of his smaller forms and sprawled out on a rock to enjoy a nice nap in the sunshine. Obi-Wan settled next to him, and Cody moved a wing over him.
Ah, thinking ahead, my dear, Obi-Wan said with a laugh.
He always did burn if in the sun too long without proper protection. A dragon's wing would keep the worst sun off of him while they napped. They woke up late afternoon. Cody shifted back to human form for their return to camp.
I'm going to see what I can scare up for late meal, Cody said as he surveyed the woods around him.
I eagerly await what you find, Obi-Wan said.
Rations did get boring very quickly.
I need you well fed for my plans for tonight, Cody said with a roguish smile.
Obi-Wan couldn't suppress the shiver of expectation. The dark-haired man noticed. The redhead's complexion hid nothing. He flushed so easily. Cody pulled Obi-Wan into his arms and asked, Shall I tell you what I have in mind? Or would you rather it be a surprise?
I trust you. Surprise me, his Jedi said after a brief pause.
Cody grinned once more. It's a good thing we visited the lake today. You won't have the energy to leave the tent tomorrow, he murmured huskily.
Obi-Wan groaned and pressed closer. Cody chuckled before pressing a kiss to the other man's forehead and pulling away.
And now I'll let that beautiful mind of yours imagine all sorts of scenarios while I go find late meal, he said impishly.
The redhead sighed dramatically. The dark-haired man just laughed before shifting forms and flying off to hunt.
Chapter 4. A Mix of Many Things.
Udesi, Shari. Udesi, Obi-Wan murmured.
Dragons were possessive creatures. Dragon shifters were no different. It had become clear the clones considered the Jedi theirs and were therefore possessive and protective. Usually, it wasn't a problem. The clones satisfied themselves by making sure their Jedi were as safe, fed, and well-rested as a war would allow. They protected their Padawan commanders viciously. Those who were in romantic relationships with their Jedi satisfied themselves in other ways, too, and were normally able to keep it professional on the job. But when faced with tipsy diplomats who didn't know how to keep their hands to themselves, the possessiveness was very much a problem. The diplomat had stepped away to get yet another drink, providing an opportunity to discuss the situation.
If he tries to touch you one more time, Cody growled,
I will report him to his queen, who will be most displeased with him, Obi-Wan stated firmly. Cutting off the threat he knew his beloved was about to make. We cannot have you make that kind of scene.
Cody glowered and disagreed.
It would be worth it.
Not if it got you sent back to Kamino, the Jedi countered. If he were an actual threat, I could protect you if you acted against him. But as he is just a nuisance, I might not be able to.
The clone swallowed back his anger. He knew his Jedi. And this was very much the Jedi part of him speaking, was right. As satisfying as it would be, Cody couldn't just rip off the diplomat's offending hands.
Fine, but the second he's a threat, I'm going to eat him,
Cody said petulantly. He wouldn't, but it amused him to say it anyway. Obi-Wan grimaced.
Don't do that. You don't know where he's been. He said, with an earnestly disgusted face.
Cody's surprised laughter was muffled by his boucher.
I'm sure he tastes terrible. Might upset your digestion, the Jedi continued.
The clone snorted in response and told himself he would be content with just glaring at the offending man, even if the effect of it was lost due to his helmet. The diplomat returned a moment later and, leaning close to Obi-Wan, asked,
Are you sure I can interest you in something to drink, Master Kenobi?
It took every ounce of Cody's control not to snarl.
Quite certain. Thank you,
Obi-Wan replied politely, posture stiff. Fortunately for them all, the man was pulled away to speak with someone else shortly thereafter, and they were able to avoid him for the rest of the evening. Once they were back in Obi-Wan's assigned rooms for the evening, he wasted no time in helping Cody out of his armor.
You showed admirable restraint, Shari, the redhead said, voice pitch low as he deftly undid the armor covering the other's chest.
Cody hadn't managed to remove anything other than his helmet when Obi-Wan started helping.
Share,
he started.
Let me, Obi-Wan entreated.
The dark-haired man wasn't about to argue with such a sweet request. He allowed the other to work without further interruption. Within just a few minutes, Cody's armor was off and stacked in a neat pile next to the bed. His blacks quickly followed. Then, it was Obi-Wan's turn. Cody had learned how to remove the Jedi clothing efficiently, and it showed. Once they were both naked, Obi-Wan slipped his arms around Cody's shoulders and kissed him.
You know, I wasn't interested in him in the slightest, he said as they parted.
I know. I don't doubt you. It was just that he kept trying to touch you, and you didn't think you could tell him to back off without causing a scene. As much as I hated it, you were right that I absolutely couldn't. It's wrong that you felt you had to tolerate him, Cody growled.
The redhead shifted to bring their foreheads together.
Unfortunately, that's politics. He merely kept touching my arm, so at best I could report his actions as rude. But I don't want to talk about him anymore.
The dark-haired man brushed a soft kiss across the other's forehead.
And what do you want to talk about?
Actually, I was rather hoping we were done talking for the night.
The negotiator not wanting to talk, Cody teased. Well, I'm sure we can find something else to do instead.
Cody thoroughly claimed his beloved. Obi-Wan was happy to allow him to do so, reveling in the warmth of Cody's feelings in the Force, in addition to the pleasure of their bodies. When they finally curled up together to sleep, an exhausted Obi-Wan snuggled into Cody's chest. He was asleep almost as soon as he was settled. The clone was awake for a short time longer, foregoing a few minutes of sleep to bask in the feeling of his beloved asleep in his arms in a soft, comfortable bed. Who knew how long it would be before they got to indulge in such a place again? The clone was incredibly pleased with himself the next morning when he saw the scattered marks that littered his Jedi's torso and hips. He had been careful to keep them away from the other's neck, knowing the importance of keeping them hidden beneath his clothes. He brushed his lips across one of the finger marks on his beloved's hips before trailing across his stomach. He continued his explorations up Obi-Wan's stomach and to his chest, periodically stopping to suck a new mark onto his skin. The dragon side of him was deeply satisfied by the signs of his mate's willing submission to him. The fact that this strong, powerful, beautiful man wanted to be his, allowed himself to be part of what little Cody could claim as his, it never failed to humble him. Cody's thoughts were interrupted as he felt fingers start running soothingly through his hair. He hummed in pleasure.
We have about an hour before we need to get ready for the day, Obi-Wan said softly, not wanting to totally spoil the mood in the room.
Plenty of time then, Cody murmured against his skin. He heeded the gentle tug at his hair and moved up the other's body. He smiled when he realized it was because the redhead wanted a kiss.
I love you. I don't think I say it enough, Obi-Wan said as they parted. I forget sometimes that you can't feel my love all the time, the way I can feel yours.
Cody pressed a few kisses across his beloved's face.
You say it, and you show it, even when you don't say it. It's enough, he reassured.
The redhead smiled. He didn't want there to ever be a doubt.
Make love to me.
It was the dark-haired man's turn to smile.
Gladly, Nermeshla di Nui. Cody said, before capturing his lips for another kiss. You're probably sore from last night. I'll be gentle.
It's a pleasant sore, Obi-Wan assured. You've never been rougher with me than I wanted. Cody kissed him again.
I would never want to be.
He settled back between Obi-Wan's spread legs, gently pressing down against him.
I'll always take good care of you.
I know you will. His Jedi replied, eyes so full of love, even as they went wide as Cody began to rock their hips together. That love made Cody feel like he could do anything, he said about slowly, gently making his beloved fall apart. Later that morning,
They found out the diplomat had actually been a Separatist spy involved in a plot meant to kidnap one of the Gar's best generals. He had backed out when faced with the reality of an angry dragon.
"I could have ripped his arms off," Cody snarled, "or his head, and it would have been plenty deserved."
"So it would seem," Obi-Wan allowed. That was certainly an unexpected turn. The end.